A large number of legislative races on the Oregon side can be pretty boring in primary season, to be quite blunt. Very often, only one candidate files for the nomination for each party. That's the way it looked in Senate District 28 and House District 56. Doug Whitsitt in the Senate and Gail Whitsitt in the House, both Republicans, had filed for re-election a while back. Then on the final day to file, each withdrew and a single candidate entered the Republican primary. To date, those filers are the only official candidates in Senate 28 and House 56. Both of those districts include parts of Klamath and Jackson counties. The charges about what happened there flew, and now four people have announced intentions to run for the Senate seat, and we'll talk to them now and set up the House race later in the hour. We have them on a conference call. I understand Dennis Linthicum is not with us. Dennis Linthicum, have you joined us now? He has not. He is the official candidate, the Republican candidate. In Senate District 28, we do have C.W. Smith, former Jackson County Sheriff and Commissioner and intended Republican write-in. Sheriff, thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Thank you, Jeff. I'm glad to be here.
Good to have you here. Michael Stettler is running as an unaffiliated candidate for the general election. Michael Stettler, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Okay, and Todd Keppel's with us as well. He's running for the nomination of the Independent Party of Oregon. Todd Keppel, good to have you on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks, Jeffrey, and thanks for doing this forum this morning.
Sure. Again, we have tried to get a hold of Dennis Linthicum for this. He had confirmed that he was going to be on here, but that hasn't happened so far. CW, I want to start with you because you are running for at least the nomination that Dennis Linthicum now holds. Would you have run for this if you had known that Doug Whitsitt was not planning on running again?
I probably would have. I had enough respect for Doug to... not run, but I had always considered running, and then the manner and passion which he left sure left a bad taste in my mouth about his legacy, and that's what bothers me. But anyway, I'm running.
All right, Dennis Linthicum, I understand we have you now on a separate line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Very good. Nice to join you this morning. And I think there's a lot of misunderstanding around this. What happens when an individual makes a decision to run is the individual makes a decision to run. So I watched, I saw no one else willing to jump in. If you'll recall, I jumped in against Greg Walden. If you'll recall, I jumped in against John Elliott as a commissioner, Greg Walden as a congressman. I won one of those battles, and I'm happy to jump in again this time. And that Doug Whitsitt withdrew is Doug Whitsitt's own decision.
Had Doug Whitsitt communicated anything to you, Dennis Linthicum?
Say that again?
Had Doug Whitsitt communicated anything to you about his intention not to run?
No. A year ago, he asked if I was willing to seek a commissioner position, and I told him no. A year ago, he also asked if I had, at that same meeting, he asked if I was going to run against he or Gail, or considered that, and he also asked if I was going to seek a different state position, such as a governor's position.
Okay, so we understand where you're coming from. Michael Stettler, I want to move on to you now. What motivated you to get into the running for Senate District 28?
Well, quite frankly, it was the Whitsitt's withdrawal. I found that to be, you know, insulting myself, and I think it's a bit disingenuous to deny any collusion. Let's just give Dennis that, and I won't want to give Dennis that. But if you look at the Whitsitt's withdrawing with no Democratic challenger, it's got to be one of the dumbest moves anybody's ever made, leaving those two seats open. So that's my position and why I entered the race.
All right, and you're not affiliated with any party, is that right? You're just going to run as a general candidate in the general election, rather?
That's correct. I won't be in the primary ballots, but I will be on the November election.
All right. Todd Keppel, similar story for you?
Yeah, really the same story for me. A number of us have heard Mr. Linthicum's explanation of what happened. I think you'll find very few people take that story at face value. And I know Mr. Linthicum just mentioned that he challenged John Elliott for his county commissioner seat and Greg Walden for seat in Congress. The difference was that neither Walden nor Elliott had any idea of stepping down. Mr. Whitsitt seems to have done this at a very fortuitous time for Linthicum. I think we can say that. And I think one thing that your listeners might be interested to know is that for a number of years, Doug and Gail Whitsitt and Dennis Linthicum have together had a website that is identified as klamathnews.net. And so the three of them have worked very closely together for a number of years. That website is managed by the fourth party in this maneuver, Werner Reschke. And so to think that the four of them did not plan this together is it's just really difficult to believe that there was no planning involved here.
All right. So just in terms of general process, how do you motivate people to cast ballots for you as a write-in candidate to try to get a nomination?
Well, my target is really the Independent Party of Oregon. This is the first year that the Independent Party of Oregon has been able to field candidates in a primary. Even though they've been around for a number of years, it was just a couple of years ago that they finally acquired enough members to gain major party status. And it seems like that's a really good solution for us to look at this year when we've got a situation where we have two candidates here for the House and the Senate that I believe appeal to a very small sector of the electorate overall. And so it may be that it's time for the Independent Party to put forward a candidate that can help us out in the situation we face here.
We are talking to the candidates in Oregon Senate District 28, which includes parts of Jackson and Klamath counties, as well as parts of Lake, Deschutes, and Crook counties. Dennis Linthicum is the official Republican candidate by virtue of being the only Republican filed before the deadline. You heard why. C.W. Smith is challenging him as a write-in for the Republican nomination. Michael Stettler is running unaffiliated in the general election, and Todd Keppel is seeking the nomination of the Independent Party of Oregon for the general election. Michael Stettler, you have an idea for a law that would address the filing deadline situation that happened this time around. Tell us what that is.
I wasn't quite sure on what the particular was you were asking about the filing deadline.
Don't you have an idea for a law that would address the situation that cropped up with the filing deadline this time around?
I do. Thank you. Back in 2006, we had a similar situation where an incumbent congressman, 20-year incumbent, pulled out without announcing. And an election law at the time had afforded state candidates the opportunity for a 5-day extension period, but it wasn't extended to federal candidates, which is where I was trying to run for a Democratic partisan nomination. And it was kind of a funny scene. There were 400 people at the election office when I was coming to file papers, and I couldn't get to the door. And that was just me, poor planning, showing up late, and being the victim of what could have been a stunt. I don't know what it was. But his campaign manager was 20-year district attorney of Ventura County, and they had to have known that election code said you cannot withdraw. You could write an article that says dead men can't withdraw. Within 30 days, if you've qualified and filed a run for that office, you cannot withdraw. So the extension period was something that was filed to extend the grace to what state candidates were enduring or had been given in legislation to federal candidates. So the SB 1258 in California, which extends a 5-day extension of the filing period, extends that to federal candidates. We'd have to also include something much broader to address the issue of withdrawal. That's the issue that we're all facing in this district. And the electorate has been denied. And the power of incumbency is something that I believe Mr. Linthicum has been the beneficiary of, because we do believe that he's had inside information and filed timely with Werner Reschke. And that's, until we see otherwise, pretty much sure everyone agrees with that.
All right. Well, let's move beyond process and get into some of the issues that crop up for this particular Senate seat. This is Senate District 28 again, parts of Jackson, Klamath, Lake, Deschutes, and Crook counties. With the Democrats firmly in control in the state legislature, the control is even more pronounced in the Senate, where there's a 35-25 Democrat to Republican bulge. What can a non-Democrat accomplish in the Oregon Senate, even if these numbers move a little bit? Dennis Linthicum, let's start with you.
I think the biggest point we have to make is with regard to conservative Republican principles. These would be low taxes, lower regulation, less government intruding into everybody's lives. This is what people in this eastern part, south central eastern part of Oregon are dying for. They're dying for freedom. So liberty has to be the calling card, and to have these Republican lights say they'll be more than happy to work with the Democrats is problematic, because what we really want is someone who will stand for these principles, someone who will argue for less control and less government at all levels, whether it's the local level, the state level, or the federal level. I think this has to be our calling card, because otherwise, why would anybody vote for a Republican if they really want more regulation, more taxes, and more bureaucracy?
C.W. Smith, running for a House in the legislature that has many more Democrats than Republicans, what can you accomplish if you get elected?
Well, first of all, it's a participatory form of government, and we all have to dig in and carry forward with our principles. That's the key element. Jeff, I think you know my history about working with people from both sides of the aisle to get things done. And that's the issue for a senator who sits in various committees that have great impact on the bureaucratic state process. And there are hundreds of issues that come before the Senate. I want to be involved in the natural resource and the public safety issues, as well as the veterans issues. Those are the kinds of things that we can have impact on through the bureaucratic legislative process. I don't disagree with what Mr. Lithicum has to say, but the point is, it's the massage of the message. And the point is that this is a working environment that you have to get in and figure out where the opposition is at, and then figure out how you're going to have impact in that process. And no one doubts, no one has any disagreement with how the present Senate and the House and the governor's office is controlled by the Democratic Party. I understand that. But the point is that this is a working situation. You have to dig in and you have to get a lot of things done. You know, I was good friends with Senator Len Hannon, bless his heart, and Lenny was great at working with people across the aisle to get things done, and that's what I do, and that's what I'm going to do. I have to tell you, I'm in Lakeview right now. This city is dying on the vine. They're about ready to lose their last mill, and that has to do primarily with the federal Forest Service issues. They're not being very very competent or processing the sales so they can have good dimensional lumber to keep their business open. And the same is happening all across the district. Natural resource-related industries are having a difficult time dealing with that. A state senator can be a strong voice for protecting those jobs and protecting that issue. We have to have that. And whoever that is, and I'm hoping it'll be me, whoever that is has to be able to be a credible spokesman. I will say that I don't think Senator Whitsitt did Mr. Lithicum any favors by the manner and fashion in which he left office and Mr. Lithicum stepped in. I don't think it's appropriate. I the credibility of what he's saying leaves a lot to be desired. I don't buy it, but that's me. I guess I'm a little bit of a suspicious mind, but the point is, this is a working situation, and I don't think people really realize how much work is entailed in the legislative process and how you have to develop relationships with your other legislators, even though they are in opposite opinion. We all carry forward our own principles. I've always been fairly conservative. But I've also been very pragmatic and figured out how to get things done. And that's the key element to getting a good senator.
Todd Keppel, running for the Independent Party of Oregon nomination, if all the stars align and you get to the legislature, you could potentially be a caucus of one. Who would you likely end up caucusing with when you get to Salem, if you get to Salem?
Well, that's a good question, Jeffrey. And I have aligned myself with the Republican Party. I was invited to do that by some prominent Republicans in our community. I've been a non-affiliated voter most of my life. I've always been conservative in my leanings. And I've lived in Klamath Falls for 25 years, working in a couple of different jobs here, and have a pretty good grasp for what the community's desires are. I think one thing that sets myself apart from Mr. Lintingham and probably the other write-in candidates as well is that we're closer to the center where the action really happens in politics. You know, I view politics is a game that's played in the middle. Here in Eastern Oregon, there is sometimes a feeling that, you know, we're dominated by those darn Democrats up in the upstate, and we've got to find the most strident conservative we can to go up there and make speeches and shake our fists at those darn Democrats, when in reality that's not very productive. And so I think those of us that are mounting write-in campaigns see ourselves as being more effective communicators, more likely to be able to actually advance the interests of Eastern Oregon rather than deliver homilies on small government. And by the way, I might just echo some of CW's comments. I would agree with many of the things that Mr. Linthicum says about how we have too much government. You know, we certainly have more government than we need in our lives. But, you know, the idea that we're going to abolish major portions of government, as Mr. Linthicum has espoused on his website, just isn't very realistic. And going to Salem with a big chip on your shoulder about the evils of big government, it's just not a very good way to approach things. And so one particular idea that I would like to pursue is reaching out to some of the Democrats from other rural areas in Oregon. We'll have some common ground that we can find there to address some of the issues that are important to us who live on the eastern side of the Cascade.
Michael Stettler, being from Christmas Valley, I'm going to guess you're the guy farthest out in the rural areas. What do you see as the district's greatest need?
Well, closest to home here in Lake County, but it's in the district. It's a long-standing problem out here with the Alkali Lake. We've got a really environmental catastrophe where we've got 25,000 55-gallon barrel drums out here. This would be more of a concern for the local, for our county. But the district should also be concerned, and I'm sure people, anyone within the district and the state, would be concerned with this site. It's Alkali Lake. There's 25,000 55-gallon barrel drums filled with chemical residues and solvents from making pesticides and actually some chemical weapons, biological stuff, just really nasty stuff. It's sitting out here just off the 395, and it'd been out there for, you know, it had already been in there for 20 years. They thought, wow, it's not leaching out fast enough. So they came back, unburied it, and crushed it. So the stuff completely leached out. So it's a disaster. So that would be something outside of elections and campaign reform that would be a priority for my specific locality. And I'm sure I could garner quite a bit of support from Deschutes County commissioners and Harney County commissioners and anyone south of here. I look at the aquifers. Where's that stuff going? The plume's got to be getting bad, and we don't have any real data on that. It would be one of the things I'd focus on for our locality.
All right, we have I need to move on here because we have under 5 minutes left now. We're talking to the announced candidates for Oregon Senate District 28. That is Michael Stettler running as an unaffiliated candidate. We have Todd Keppel running for the nomination of the Independent Party of Oregon. C.W. Smith is running as a write-in for the Republican nomination, and Dennis Linthicum is the only candidate on the ballot so far as the Republican candidate. Given the time we have, I'm going to keep you all to a minute or less in this last question, which is Oregon's budget issues with money going to pensions increasing over time. How do we address those? Let's start with you, Todd Keppel.
Sorry, Jeff, I had my phone muted there for a second. So one of the big issues that we're all aware of is the PERS issue, and either we're going to be looking at some really deep cuts in order to cover that PERS liability, or else we're going to be looking at some new revenue. There's a measure being put forward through the initiative process, IP-28, not very popular with the corporate world. It's would be a corporate tax, and that's not a very good solution. We'll have to find either other sources of revenue, or else we're going to have to make some cuts that are, I believe, really going to hurt Oregon. It's going to be a tough time to get through for the next 10, 20 years, I think.
Okay, Michael Stettler, how to balance the Oregon budget given what's happening with pensions?
I'd like to stay focused on that, on the PERS question, because the PERS is just like everybody else's pension plan out there. They're subject to market conditions, and we've seen some values, market values going up, but it's so it fluctuates. It's hard to forecast on these things in our investments. I would say that we need to move towards larger infrastructure projects and create a tax base from wage earners to raise the tax base. We can't afford any more austerity. We see what's happening in Europe, and we really don't want to go that direction. raising taxes. I mean, you know, we raise a general taxes, a solid tax base by creating jobs and wage earners.
Okay, thank you, Michael Stettler. C.W. Smith, how to deal with the Oregon budget given the increasing amount having given over to pensions?
Thanks, Jeff. This question has come up almost every time we've had a chance to visit with the public. The answer to the first question is long-term. It's not going to go away, but it is going to be painful once the decisions are made. And they're going to be painful decisions to figure out how to get out and reduce that impact of that future financial burden for the state. Part of the problem is that statutory issues have been addressed by our Oregon Supreme Court, that the state has to abide by the contracts on the PERS, and they can't adjust those back. So there has to be some answers and some creative ways in which to do and offer buyouts. That's an effective way of looking at possibly reducing that impact on the long term.
Okay, that's from C.W. Smith. Dennis Linthicum, you get the last crack at how to deal with Oregon's budget issues given the pension obligations.
Thank you. The obligations are enormous, and they're actually unfathomable, same at the federal level. And I think the biggest issue that keeps getting overlooked, earlier we heard that the last mill in Lakeview is almost under closure, right? They still got a few contracts they're doing. How will we sustain that? 54% of all Oregon lands are non-taxable because they're in the federal domain. I think we ought to argue from the legislature that those lands within the boundaries of the state of Oregon belong to Oregonians more than they belong to people in Mississippi and North Dakota. And so I think it's a resource we should treasure. It's a resource we should value. It's a resource we should utilize. And we need to start looking at this behemoth that's looming over our economy and start chipping away at it. And that's what I would like to do as your state senator.
All right. A rather wild and woolly set of options going on in Oregon Senate District 28. Dennis Linthicum is the only officially filed candidate thus far as the Republican candidate. C.W. Smith is running as a write-in for the Republican nomination against him. Michael Stettler wants to be unaffiliated in the general election. And Todd Keppel wants to win the nomination of the Independent Party of Oregon. I want to thank you all for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.